This is the show that pulls back the industry curtain. We're exploring pop culture, music icons, and food gods. It's the Jeremiah Show with Dr. D, broadcasting from the HJL Hospitality and Evolve Studios in LA, Santa Barbara, KZSB, AM 1290, and FM 96.9, Santa Barbara, or somewhere from the road. He's opened and fixed more than 200 restaurants, bars, nightclubs, hotels, and neighborhood joints around the globe. He's an industry driver, an author, and a columnist. He's a restaurateur with legendary rock star Mick Fleetwood in Fleetwood's on Front Street in Lahaina, Maui. And he's your radio host. And now, back from a race around the sun, Jeremiah Higgins.
Season 9 of the Jeremiah Show. This is our third episode in today, Dr. D. Dr. D, and we didn't waste any time coming back with season 9. We're already
hit the ground running and
episodes in. Yeah, we've had some really great guests on. I hope you enjoyed them. But we have, I don't want to say we saved the best for last, but we did save one of our best, one of my very favorite guests that we've ever had on. It's been quite a while. He's been very busy out there in the world making his music, making his art, and we're going to catch up with Palmer Anthony today. He's our special guest. I feel like Dr. D and Palmer, I'll bring you in just a moment, but I want to do a little quick intro here. I feel like we're all in this, we're in this time right now of life-changing transitions, introspective, looking at our lives, almost stepping back a little bit and looking at it as if we are looking at someone else's life.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, tell me, have you not taken stock of your life and your life choices these past few years?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's amazing how that process just, it's almost or very organic. It's not like you have to work at it. It just kind of comes.
Well, it's not that easy, is it?
No.
I mean, it's not an easy thing to do to look at your life and look at the choices you've made. And if you're happy with them, right? Yeah. And so I think at this beginning of this new year, 2022, at this beginning of this season, that's why our guest today, again, Palmer Anthony, is on a journey of his own as an artist. And such an articulate guy, such a great artist, such a friendly guy. I mean, well, he was in studio last time, and right now he's on the road. He's going to tell us about that in a moment. But what a great guy to kind of examine his career path right now, his personal journey, and then at the same time, you know, reflect on as we're listening and as we listen to his new music, about a little bit about our own lives. And
yeah.
And one way or the other, life just seems more important now. The decisions you make, the choices you make seem more important now. The journey you are on is closer to the surface now. If you're an artist, you no doubt consider your artistic choices. And you've thought a lot about how to best express who you are through your music. Today, in this new year, in a new season on the show, again, we welcome back one of my very favorite guests of all time on the show, music artist and a friend, Palmer Anthony. This guy's got a big smile, voice, and an even bigger presence. Palmer Anthony.
Hey, well, thank you.
It's just so good to hear your voice, my friend, and hear your new music. I can't wait to play it here. And Palmer Anthony, just to set this up a little bit, you know, he spent the last few years, just like everybody else, figuring out who he is as an artist, what he wants to say with his voice and his platform, and who he wants to be and become. He's got a new album coming out, new songs, and a new tour. Palmer Anthony is back and better than ever. Please help me welcome this incredibly driven, incredibly talented Palmer Anthony. Welcome back to the show, Palmer.
Yeah.
Hey, well, thank you guys for having me, first of all. It is good to be talking to you guys again. And I think it's been about almost to the day, about 3 years. Is that correct?
Wow.
It could be.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it does, actually.
By the way, your description of him made me think of this one country song that basically the line is, "What was I thinking?" Because that's, you know, you're about your life's choices,
right.
You know, what was I thinking? And of course the song basically promotes the fact that the guy wasn't thinking.
That's an old Dirk Bentley classic right there.
Yeah.
Well, Palmer Anthony is a singer, songwriter, and musician based out of Fort Worth, Texas. I want to remind those Santa Barbara, I'm sure you still have some fans here, and they're probably 99% women, Palmer, but the Palmer, he went to UCSB. He's a UCSB boy.
Hmm. Heck yeah, I'm a Gaucho.
Gaucho, yeah. Right. So we were talking earlier today. Palmer's calling us on the road, so I have to apologize in advance to all the female fans that you have out there. But there will not be a YouTube video of this interview. Not this time. He's a little mysterious, this Palmer.
I'll send you like a picture of me the whole time. No, I'm just kidding. But
there you go.
No, I mean, I'm outside of Fayetteville, Arkansas right now.
Now, when we talked about 3 hours ago, where were you exactly? And you said it wasn't that pretty out.
Oh, did you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Sorry about that. Anyway, yeah, I was saying I was out in I just got through Oklahoma, and that was, it just, you know, this area is so pretty, this kind of eastern Oklahoma, Arkansas area, so pretty in the spring and fall and even the summers, but in the winter it just gets kind of bland, we'll say, you know? But no, it's a nice little drive in and it's Fayetteville here.
Now, what are you doing in Arkansas?
Yeah. So, this is tomorrow night in Fayetteville will be the first show of the year for me. We got, 7 in January and we kind of just, the scene that we've been working, is called the Texas Red Dirt scene basically. And that's kind of, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Texas, Louisiana a little bit, even Kansas. And just kind of like that area, and it's a lot of, you know, where the SEC towns even, or the college towns here in Texas, and we just been kind of working the club scene right now, and getting to open up for some cool acts that we like, and maybe a couple of headlining things here soon, but yeah, that's what our winter is going to be like, kind of touring around the music that we're putting out.
Well, Palmer, you know, you and I started talking about having you on the show to you know, hit this date tonight. The show is airing unrated tonight, 96.9 FM and 1290 KZSB, AM 1290. We're airing and we're playing at the end of the show your new song in its entirety. And you and I started talking about you coming back to the show. It had been so long, and how you wanted to, you know, introduce some of this new stuff that you've been working on that you're very proud of to our listeners. And we're just extremely honored. So I wanted to thank you here at the top in case I forget to, that, you know, Palmer's introducing 4 new songs that are, you cannot find anywhere until tonight at 9 PM. And we're playing Meet Me in Texas. That's your new single that you're dropping. Again, so honored for you to bring us the music, and throughout this show at commercial breaks, you'll be hearing all the news, the 4 new songs. So let's talk about, I mean, you're not only on a journey for the tour, but you're on this, is it a metaphysical, Dr. D, journey, a personal journey?
Yeah.
Rebranding yourself as an artist or discovering yourself, your true artist. You're a singer-songwriter who really, you know, country rock speaks to you. Why does it speak to you, Anthony? What about country rock?
Funny thing is, I've been using the term rebranding, but I don't really ever think I ever locked down a specific brand, we'll say. I think it's more coming into it than it is rebranding it, and that's about the term I should probably start using. But it's I've been doing music for 5 years now, I kind of have the basic guitar chords down, your G, C, D stuff. in when I was a teenager, but never really thought about pursuing songwriting or guitar playing really at all until I was in college and just kind of fell in love with it. But it's really taken about 5 years for me to kind of figure out what my niche is, in a sense, or at least where I feel most comfortable as a writer and as a singer. I don't think that my voice is your classic George Strait. I don't think it's Led Zeppelin, but you know, there's a niche, you know, where you have the guitar elements and, you know, drum sounds that rock music has, while also having the storytelling that country music brings and steel guitar and that kind of stuff. But you know, we kind of blend a little bit, and I think that we've opened up for like hard rock bands, and we've opened up for, you know, guys who have fiddles in their band. So we like that blend. I think as a band, our crew likes both kinds of music, and you know, we just try to cater our songs and cater our sound and our really our whole image as a group to that kind of blend. And I think that's kind of what we kept coming into the past year, I'd say.
And you mentioned, you know, you've been playing for 5 years, and let's take the, you know, listeners back a couple years to UCSB, and where you were at here, what you, you know, and then why did you decide and how did you decide to pursue music, and what did you do about it?
Yeah, I mean, I was at school at UCSB, and I grew up in a really small farming town in Northern California, and coming to Santa Barbara was definitely a kind of culture shock for me. And you know, I knew it was pretty, and it was incredible just to be that close to the beach. I'd never been that close to the beach before, but really just kind of clung to country music as a beacon of home, in a sense, and didn't really like what I was doing in school a whole lot. It was still creative stuff. It was like filmmaking and everything, but you know, it wasn't really like a passion of mine. And just songwriting kind of, and I just loved country music and always had been around it growing up. My parents listened to it. And that just kind of, I was just like, well, what am I going to do when I graduate college, you know? And I was kind of ahead on credits. I graduated when I was 20 years old. So I kind of needed to figure out pretty quickly what I wanted to do with my life, and just felt a calling. I don't even know if a calling is that word, but just felt a draw towards country music. And I simply just wanted to be a part of it at first. I didn't even really think of it myself as an artist yet, but just wanted to be a part of it at that age.
Now, wasn't there this kind of a, I don't know if awakening is the right word, but a realization when you went to Nashville? You went out to Nashville, right? Like on spring break, if I recall, or somewhere around there. And if I remember the story right, you were sitting on a rooftop overlooking Nashville, and you just said, I got it. This is what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and those first, like the first time I went to Nashville, that was what I'd heard. It was like this mecca of country music, you know? And I remember just going out there and thinking, like, there was several thoughts I had. I mean, I think I may have been, the first time I told you this story, I may have been too, you know, afraid to admit it, but there's a lot of nervousness. And I think there was an equal sense of just like wander in my head that I just wanted to, you know, it was such a vast idea,
yeah,
you know, and such like a pipe dream.
I can imagine.
And then with that, visiting Nashville and that whole side of things, and also my early days visiting Lubbock, Texas a lot, and just seeing those, like, just how much music involved, and especially, you know, obviously Nashville, it's everywhere you look. And just realizing, man, there's people who like do this for a living. Like, their job is to write songs. And that was just this incredible idea. And then just, I remember I was, sitting, I went to Grand Ole Opry, and then I went back to my hotel that night. I remember just like looking over the city and being like, there's so much energy in this, you know, there's this like never ending like dream, you know, and even the most famous singer songwriters are still chasing something, you know, and I think I was just drawn to that. Like, I never wanted to like reach the end goal. Yeah. And I think I still feel that way. I think I still love the fact that it's just never ending. And I think that was what drew me to, you know, living in Nashville for a time, to Lubbock, Texas, to the Texas scene in general, living in Fort Worth now, and all those, and I've really just been kind of finding what the most comfortable scene and for me is, but truly, like, in that moment, just realizing there's people that do that for a living.
Well, I can imagine the fear that you, that you looked over the city, that you said, this is what it is. This is what I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to do. I found what I meant to do, my calling, if you will. And also then probably an instant fear, you know, because we all know how hard it is to break into this business and to make it as an artist and a musician. And will you be accepted? And where do you start? How do I start? What's point one? How do I get to point, you know, A to Z? It's just that fear, but you didn't let it cripple you. You actually quickly came home, if I recall, and finished up your studies, graduated, and then went right back. Lot of people don't pass that first, that first decision. This is what I want to do. Oh, then the doubt, how do I do it? Can I do it? Will I make it? And then that's where they stop. And I always thought it was so impressive, that you just went out and made it work, and you're like, I'm going to do it. So what do I got to do? And you figured it out along the way. What I love about catching up with you right now, Bill Palmer, is that, you know, this is kind of a story of your journey to these new four songs that you're releasing and this new single that you're releasing on the show here, and at the same time through your label, through your management company. What I find fascinating is that you have been on a journey, and if you don't mind me repeating a little bit of some conversation off air, and correct me if I've got any of it wrong, please, but I definitely don't want to misquote you, but I recall you saying, a few weeks back when we talked, that you really kind of wished so many people know who they are as a musician early on, and it felt kind of to you that it took you until today, until now, to really get to where who you really are as an artist, and that's why you're so excited for this new, to release this new music. Did I get that right? And
yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. I think that, because I grew up in, Northern California, I just didn't really have access to any type of music scene, you know? And didn't, like, all I knew was on the radio or like my dad's cassettes. And my dad's cassettes were Dwight Yoakam and George Strait. That's about it, you know? And that's all I knew. I didn't know that there was, I didn't know what a publishing house was. I didn't know what a manager would come to. I didn't know. I just thought, oh, put your song out on iTunes and it ends up on country radio. And I just, like, that's all I knew. And so I kind of chased that for a while, I think, when I was first getting into songwriting. And I think the last time I talked to you, I think it was like 2018, actually, or 2019, early in the year, 2019, I believe, or late 2018. And around that time, I was living in Nashville, but also learning about a lot of other scenes. And right about then, I started visiting other scenes. I lived in, you know, Lubbock, Texas. And then I visited Dallas-Fort Worth a lot. Then I started going to play shows in Austin and seeing all these different scenes and the different the kind of music that came from those scenes, and realizing that it wasn't just what I heard on the radio, you know. And then there were certain albums that I will say changed the course of my career. But the first time I heard Ryan Bingham's Mescalito, and many people now know Ryan Bingham as Walker from Yellowstone.
Mm-hmm.
But his first album called Mescalito was literally like life-changing for me. That when I first heard that album, and even listening now to like Guy Clark, Bella Sigla, and just like those kind of songwriters that just, I listened just religiously to, I was like, man, I like that. I love that. And then I also love, you know, more mainstream stuff too, like the George Straits and that kind of thing. And so I just like, well, there's gotta be, you know, I'm also a big like Kings Leon fan, you know, I love Kings Leon. So, but in my head, like there's gotta be some kind of way to incorporate all those things. And I think for me personally, it wasn't in Nashville and that's why I moved back down to Texas and just wanted to like find myself, I think. And it just gave me, I think in Texas, and this is all self-applied pressure. This isn't the town putting pressure on me, but it's just, I think I felt more comfortable living in Texas and being a songwriter there, and not just all those things and all those places I lived and all those albums and music, that just kind of led me to write about now, where I feel like I'm catching my stride, and the music that I have coming out, I feel like is by far my best stuff and my most introspective stuff and deep stuff. So
I might have to agree with you there, my friend. It's really, really good. And you're actually going to get to hear your first taste of Palmer Anthony's new music. We're going to take you to break right now with Remember Us. And Palmer, when we come back, I want you to think about this, and we're going to continue to kind of take this journey with you from, we're in Nashville right now, and then we're going to head over to Texas with you, and you're really discovering your sound and the sound that you want to put out as an artist, a singer-songwriter, and a country rock artist.
Yeah.
So we'll be right back. We're talking with very, very special guest, an old friend of ours, the show, Palmer Anthony. Find him on Instagram at Palmer Anthony_. You can find him on Facebook at Palmer Anthony Music. For booking, PalmerAnthonyMusic@gmail.com. And for more information, go to Palmer or email him at PalmerAnthonyMusic@gmail.com. Also got a great website, PalmerAnthony.com.
Made by yours truly.
Hey, I like it, man. We'll be right back. And when you go there, there's a lot of great ways to get his music and follow and check him out. Palmer Anthony, we'll be right back.
Remember us there out Tomcat Road, and drunk off daddy's whiskey and high off brother's smoke. Took leaving town to turn around, see what we left behind. I remember us back then sometimes.
Hi, I'm Shadow Stevens. While I'm doing this and that and the other thing at the very same time, I'm having a great time on The Jeremiah Show, the greatest show in the history of the world. For the love of God, subscribe. No, seriously, subscribe.
Hi, I'm Marielle Hemingway, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
You could see her breath with her head on your chest, cutting through a Texas moon. It was written in the stars, but it wasn't on your arm, so you're wondering what to do. When her shoulder starts to shiver and her lips starts to quiver, and it clicks what you're holding on to. It's got your name on the back, but you're talking like it could be her someday too. Just give her your letter, man. You won't regret it, man. You'll be cold for a minute, but if you get lost in it, you won't find a feeling. Watching her smile in your letter, man.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. Dr. D, I know you're burning some questions over there for our good friend Palmer Anthony. We just came back, by the way, with Letterman from his new... there's a new album coming out, Palmer. I want you to clear this up for us. But it's not out yet. You are dropping a new single tonight and on this show with us. Thank you so much. So honored. Called Meet Me in Texas. Now, there's four other songs that we're playing throughout this show. The album's not out yet, but it's your debut album. When can we get the album? And I don't want you to give out anything you don't want to give out here, but do you have a title for it, or tease us a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, tonight is a song that's actually a duet, too, with a really talented artist down here in Texas named Gracie York. And those songs you hear on the show today will be out all tonight. The single is Meet Me in Texas. That's the new one. But a 10-song album, and there will be some songs. We've put out music, we've taken it down, we've done all kinds of things in the past couple years, but this collection of songs that we expect to put out either end of March, early April, we'll be like our 10 best, at least our 10 most, representative songs.
So did you say all four all four are out tonight that we're playing here?
Correct. One's already out, and they will all the rest be out tonight. So the Meet Me in Texas is the single coming out. That makes sense.
Okay. Got it.
And then, that's all tonight. And then, the other new music, I think we're going to put out one more single. We're thinking either early March or something like that, or late February. And if it's late February, the album would be like late March. If the next single comes out early March, the album would kind of be mid-April. So that's kind of what we're looking at. But I really, I thought about all my favorite artists, Ryan Bingham being there and a bunch of other artists. And I just thought of the fact that, they all have their first album. And I think I've just kind of put out a lot of singles, and I think I just want to put out an album. I want to say this is where I'm going to hang my hat for this year. And hopefully next year, put another one out and just keep going like that. I wanted somewhere to hang my hat, I guess, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I've heard of it, I can't wait to hear the rest. It's a really great place to hang your hat. And I'm glad that, I'm so happy that you feel like you're finding your sound and you're defining yourself as an artist. I really do. From a listener's perspective, I really think that you are on to something and that you have, and looking forward to, as I always have been with you, where you go from here, and how you grow as an artist. I don't know if it's a fair statement, but because I think you've always been true, right, to yourself, but you just didn't know. It's more clear now as you've, as you mentioned in the last segment, that some different artists changed your life and changed your perspective and your sound as you got more into the scene. When was that moment? Was there a moment when you felt, I don't want to say you weren't being true to yourself as an artist, but when you discovered where you wanted to go as an artist. Do you remember that moment?
Yeah. You know what? It's actually pretty recent. It was probably about 3 or 4 months ago. I do remember that moment. And it was words from someone in the industry, obviously no names, but someone that of good power, basically was just like, kind of said, hey, like, I put Shuffle on your Spotify or whatever, and the first time I heard it, I was kind of about it and just kind of didn't click listen to the rest. And that just made me think about something, and I was just like, I was like, well, why didn't you start from the top, But, why should I be, if every song out is a good representation of my artistry or my, even my live show, and it shouldn't really be out in my point of view, I should be excited for any one of my songs to be the first song someone hears. And that's kind of what I want to create. And I think that there are songs that I like and I enjoy, but I don't think they represent me as an artist or me as a songwriter or even my sound in general, or like that I made 4 years ago,
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a moment where I was like, that person's right. They didn't mean it in a mean way, because they end up listening to the rest of my stuff. But at the time I was like, man, like they are right. Like there's about 4 songs or so like that I've had out previously that I don't think represent, So I know the whole process of taking stuff down and just picking and choosing the songs you want to keep. I really think it's important as an artist. I'm not quite, at the magnitude where I'm going to break a lot of hearts by taking, certain stuff down or putting stuff back up or whatever that may be. But, I want, you hope that a lot of eyes come to music in the near future. And I guess I just want my best foot forward to always be, present, even if it's my old stuff, And if I don't think that my old stuff represents me, then I think it's, time for me to remove it or re-record, re-release, that kind of stuff. And there's songs that I put out a while ago that I don't think got the light of day they deserve, and they're going to come back out. So that's all I feel about that. And I think everyone's different. I heard people be like, no, you got to keep it up. It shows that you've grown. I'm like, I don't want that. I'm okay without that. I'm okay. I'm still going to have songs on my album that I did 4 years ago. So if they want to see how far I've grown, they look at that one, you know. But I do think that, you know, you should always, it's okay to have, it's like no one wants your rough draft to be on the bookshelf, right? Yeah. You know, you want your final product out there. And even if you're like, oh, well, like that was your, what you did, you know, your early stuff. I'm like, yeah, well, no one wants to, that's my rough draft, you know, like this is my first essay. It's my first book I'm putting out in a sense. And I'll write a bunch of novels. That's the goal. But I want my first book to be complete and to be, you know, like my best representation of my artistry.
I like that. Was it hard when you heard this honest advice to shed?
If you
to
asked basically that question shed three that years skin? Ago, I would have said yes. But I think I've heard no enough in my life in this industry that I don't really care anymore. I listen. Mm-hmm. I listen and I take value in people's words and their opinion. I don't let it really get to me as far as like emotionally, but strategically I listen because I feel like, you know, I write the songs for myself. I put them out in the world for other people.
Yeah.
So that's what I always try to remind myself, you know.
A lot of integrity. I like that. And I think that a lot of artists, it's just the nature of the business to get advice, right? And it can either knock you down and knock you out, or you can take what you need from it and keep it or discard it, let it roll over your back. You know, as I admire you as an artist like that, and I think you have, you know, this journey that you're going through, discovering yourself more as an artist. I think you've got a lot of great advice there for artists that are listening in and maybe get knocked down by that advice. Is there a certain Palmer Anthony trick the advice that you could give artists that are going to hear this feedback, this critique, this criticism, advice?
Yeah. I mean, there's three things I would say about whether it's entertainment in any way, shape or form, radio, music, movies, whatever it may be. Like, I'll just say that, the first thing I always tell people is to enjoy the journey because, you know, everyone forgets that like you're at the peak of your career for about 15% of your career, like on average. You know, you got your Matthew McConaughey's and your Justin Bieber's and whatever. And if you don't enjoy the journey, then you're going to be miserable. You know, if you don't enjoy playing for 50 people or being in a low budget, you know, film or doing radio for 10 people, like you don't enjoy just doing it, you're going to be miserable. And that's what I've reminded myself. We've driven 10 hours to play for 15 people. We've driven more hours to play for less people at times. And so that's what I've always been. That's the first thing I always monitor myself. As far as artistry, at the end of the day, it's your craft, it's your art, it's your music, it's your personality on the station, it's your, you know, movie. And, if it's yours and you can listen to anyone around you and whoever, you trust, that kind of stuff, always for advice. But at the end of the day, like trust your gut. I think that'll always be the biggest compass as far as, you know, being true to yourself. And I would say those two things. And the third thing, I would say, don't take it too seriously at the same time. Mm-hmm.
It's always good advice.
The second you lose the fun in it, it just, you also can become miserable. So yeah. Those are three things I would say. It's just, I guess to summarize, trust your gut. Don't take it too seriously. Just enjoy the journey. So
we're going to take you to break right now with a new song by Palmer Anthony. It's called I'll Drink to That. You want to tell us anything about that? The listeners, about the song before we go to break?
That is a fun one. That's taking a sad breaking up song and making it a fun one. So, I hope you like that. It's got a fun little hook to it and it's for your exes. So.
Okay, we'll be right back. Don't cut me off there, Dr. D. I want to tell you a little bit. You got so many great reviews of your music, Palmer, but Fresh Texas Music Pickers, they labeled you a fresh find. Palmer Anthony's music has been streamed over a million times and been featured on playlists such as Spotify's Texas Country Now, Fresh Finds Country, and New Music Nashville. He is on tour right now, and he's actually arriving at his first stop in Arkansas to play Lafayette, right? Is that correct again? I got that.
Fayetteville.
Sorry. So you check him out. Are there still tickets available, Palmer?
There is, yes, sir. Down at George's Majestic Lounge. I'm going to Fayetteville by the University of Arkansas down there.
So go to PalmerAnthony.com. You can find the tour dates and get all the information to get the tickets. Also, if you're interested in booking Palmer Anthony, go to email PalmerAnthonyMusic@gmail.com. We'll be right back, and we're going to take you out with I'll Drink to That.
Well, I'm halfway through my third Camel Blue with a whiskey on the way. She just packed up her screaming, this ain't it. Well, to hell with her anyway. Y'all, I ain't no exception. Yeah, I'm just like you. For the end of the work week, a win for the home team, I'll tip back a few. But she met a dude from College Station who's got a good education. So I'm a few beers deep with my two left feet, feeling like I'm on vacation. Here's to the beers colder than her heart, and the drinks too much from the start. To the daddy's money, little honeys, who wouldn't think that's too funny? Here's to the rock, not on her hand, and I feel like a brand new man. Oh, and the fact that she ain't coming back, I'll drink to that.
Hey there, I'm Caleb.
I'm Becca.
And I'm Joshua.
And we are a girl named Tom.
Go to girlnamedtom.com to hear more of our music, buy merchandise, and learn about our story. You're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
And we're back with The Jeremiah Show.
You've been listening to The Jeremiah Show. I am Miles Zuniga from Fastball.
Hey, this is Tim.
And this is Christian. We're L1011.
Hi, this is Ron Sexsmith on The Jeremiah Show.
She could be in the corner of your bar, right next to the dart, sipping sour and whiskey. You can't believe what you're watching. While she was in Austin, she got more than her degree. She said she'd come back, but she's holding his hand, and she looks so happy. So if she wants to go.
Welcome back to The Jeremiah Show. We got a very special guest. An old friend is joining us, Palmer Anthony. He's got a new album coming out this spring, so subscribe and check out his website, PalmerAnthony.com. He's on tour, and we're listening to the new music, and we're going to premiere at the end of the show his new single, Meet Me in Texas. All right, so welcome back, Palmer. Really great conversation with you, man. I we're talking about just the business and how you developed as an artist. I keep asking you this kind of in different ways. I want to know, how did you do this? Maybe you've already answered that. So let me go this way. A lot of times, I know the artist management tries to get the artist to fit into kind of a commercial cookie cutter you know, a brand or an artist, what they think you should be, what sells. There's a lot of voices out there, a lot of opinions, but I love right now you've talked really highly of this management company that you're working with that really supports who you are as an artist. How refreshing is that? And talk to me about that a little bit. From a perspective of an artist out there listening, how do they find, you know, what did you ask for? How did you find somebody that was right for you, that supported you? Are there tips?
Yeah, I mean, we everything we do right now is all handshake still, as far as like contracts, that kind of stuff. But we're fortunate enough to work with a couple of groups down here in Texas, and one in particular, like, you know, as far as like, for instance, in each region, there's different kind of like booking agencies, different kind of, you know, there's a couple of big ones like a WME and a CAA are kind of global agencies. But we were kind of with a couple of groups down here in Texas, and all it is I remember when I first lived in Nashville, again, not naming names, but just people would say, hey, we love you. We're going to change everything about you. And I'm like, okay, what? You know, it was never was right. But, you know, I mean, I don't think I've learned this, is that if it's one person aggressively searching after the other, or like, you know, if I was to knock and bang on these guys or help me, or they were to bam on door, like, I could change your life tomorrow. That usually doesn't work. It's gotta be pretty mutual. I think it's gotta be, hey, like, you know, we like what you're doing, but you know, you still got a ways to go. And I'm like, hey, like what y'all are doing. I got some things I want to do first, you know, and that's kind of, I feel like that's the healthiest relationship, is when it's 50-50. And that's kind of all I would say to any young artist. If someone's going to work with you and they promise you the world, they probably aren't going to give you the world. And if you're chasing after somebody, you're not going to be that appealing to them, because they don't need you. You know, it's got to be pretty mutual. And that's the biggest thing I'll say. And that goes with anyone and you work with, booking, management, publishing. There's got to be a mutual desire to want to work with each other, or, you know, bad contracts will be made, or, you know, you'll feel neglected, or they'll feel like neglected, or that they don't need you. So I would just say, just finding mutual relationships, whether it's a booking agency or management company, is kind of the biggest advice I would give.
You know, I'm a big country fan. I worked for a country station for about 6 months back in the 80s during the holidays. I loved it. It was absolutely fabulous. And of course, I guess I kind of grew up around that. And I'm listening to it now. We have one station here in Santa Barbara that we get from the Valley called Crazy Country. And they feature a guy by the name of Bobby Bones. You familiar? He's out of Nashville, and he features a lot of different artists on his program. He has them in studio or on Zoom or what have you. And the one thing that I've always wanted to ask this question, both of artists as well as of people who enjoy country music, is what makes country music country music? And I won't even go into the different genres as you broke them down earlier, but from your perspective as a country music artist and songwriter and so forth, what is it that makes it a country?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. It really is going to depend on who you ask.
Sure.
Like, I appreciate you asking my opinion. I will always think my vote would be the songwriting. I think that you'll hear a lot of people, especially in the scene, I'm in the Texas Red Dirt scene, you get a lot of people who, you know, say, oh, you know, Nashville ain't country. And then you get, you know, Nashville being like, yes, it is, you know. And, you know, I think there's limits. I do think that I think there's a lot of great subgenres of country. Again, this is just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, like, I enjoy listening to some like pop country sounding stuff, or even I love like hip hop. So I personally love hip hop. I think that the music I'm most drawn to is more of the kind of organic, and I guess they're organic, but like artists I think of is Ryan Bingham and, you know, and I like some rock stuff that's come out of Texas, like this guy named Coe Wetzel, I'm a big fan of. And the young guys that I've been fortunate to with, there's some incredible songwriters that aren't even coming out of Nashville. You know, like a guy named Corey Kent, really good songwriter down in Texas. The groups I'm working with, I'm fortunate to tour with, like Colby Cooper and Pegasus and the Rooftops and those guys. And you know, there's this scene that isn't really on the the mainstream radar that, you know, and I don't think they even consider themselves country. I think they just consider themselves, you know, artists.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that once you kind of lose the bindings of country, you get opened up to a lot more music. And, you know, if all you listen to is country radio, I would challenge you, not saying you personally, but like as anyone, I would challenge you to, you know, go check out some other playlists on Spotify, like country rock, like Texas Country Now. Those are all playlists that feature artists you may not hear on the radio. You know, I think that there's country everywhere. I think there's country music on the radio. I think there's country music on playlists. And I think that you might hear a whole lot of guitars on some version of country. You might hear a trap beat on some version of country. But in my opinion, as long as the lyrics are there, and there's some form of storytelling, and there's meaning to the song. And sometimes that meaning is just having a good time, you know?
Yeah.
I just think that substance is important. And I guess that's what country music is to me.
Yeah. One other quick question, and that is having to do with the message, the words that you use in the song. There's that one, I want to say, I think the gal's name is Lambert, but I can't remember. I may be wrong about this. You know the song I'm probably talking about where she's talking about smashing his headlights with a, what's the name of that bat?
Louisville Slugger.
Louisville Slugger. Now, when it first came out several years ago, I thought it was cute. But in this day and age, that doesn't seem like the right message to be sending to people. How important is the message in your songs to you and making sure that you're, I'm not saying being politically correct, but at the same time, don't you have a responsibility to be putting out, you know, some good stuff, some fun stuff, without the encouraging of stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I think that, you know, the last thing that any artist wants to do is exclude anyone from their music.
Sure.
And I think that that's my biggest thing. I want everyone to listen to my music. And any artist that doesn't want everyone to listen to music is not smart, because they're going to make less money. That's what I'll say.
True.
And, you know, and I don't know if that's involving Louisville Sluggers all the time, but, you know, in my opinion, like, the kind of music I want to make is that I want someone in, you know, in Lubbock, Texas to hear my song and resonate with it just as much as someone in Santa Barbara, California, just as much as someone in, you know, Billings, Montana, and Syracuse, New York. I want all four of those types of people to hear my song and be like, that's me, you know? And to me, that's the most important thing. And if you're writing songs that is, in my opinion, there could be people from all four of those places that like certain sounding music, you know? So I don't think, I'm worried less about the production and more about the substance of the song.
Mm-hmm.
I think the production is always going to emulate the song, which I love being a part of, but you know, I don't think a whole lot about, like, I have a swear word in one of my songs, and I'm like, I just, because I felt that feeling, and I wanted to say that at that moment, you know. And I'm sure there's people who at the time are like, I want to say this too.
Yeah,
you know.
By the way, Dr. D, catch that. I forgot to tell you.
Yeah.
Or can we say on the radio?
No. So I will catch that. And which song is that?
Because it is in. I think it's in "Remember Us," isn't it?
Drink.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's "Drink to That."
Oh, "Drink to That."
"Drink to That." Okay.
I'll tell you what. That's the very, very first line. Very first line.
Yeah, it's right at the beginning. I meant to tell him. So thanks for bringing that up.
No problem. We'll leave it in the podcast version. We'll leave it in the podcast version because they don't care. But on AM and FM, we gotta bleep it out.
All right. Well, hey, listen.
It's in the second line.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And everybody who wants to hear that word, go listen to this again on interview again on the podcast.
That's right.
Hey, we got to take our last break, and we're going to come back and just say goodbye here, Palmer. What a great hour, man, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you don't ever disappoint. Learned a lot today. We will be right back. We're taking you to break, our last break again, with "Remember Us." Again, we started out with that. We've got a little more of that to play for you.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that song. And we're going to come back in again with a little more from I'll Drink to That. No swear word on the second one, Dr. D. So okay. you're good. And then right after that, welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. We got a very special guest. An old friend is joining us, Palmer Anthony. He's got a new album coming out this spring. So subscribe and check out his website, PalmerAnthony.com. He's on tour. And we're listening to the new music, and we're going to premiere at the end of the show his new single, Meet Me in Texas. All right, so welcome back, Palmer. Really great conversation with you, man. I we're talking about just the business and how you've developed as an artist. I keep asking you this kind of in different ways. I want to know, I mean, how did you do this? Maybe you've already answered that. So let me go this way. A lot of times I know the artist management tries to get the artist to fit into kind of a commercial cookie cutter, brand or an artist, what they think you should be, what sells. There's a lot of voices out there, a lot of opinions, but I love right now you've talked really highly of this management company that you're working with that really supports who you are as an artist. How refreshing is that? And talk to me about that a little bit. From a perspective of an artist out there listening, how do they find, what did you ask for? How did you find somebody that was right for you, that supported you? Are there tips?
Yeah, I mean, we everything we do right now is all handshake still, as far as like contracts, that kind of stuff. But we're fortunate enough to work with a couple of groups down here in Texas, and one in particular, as far as like, for instance, in each region, there's different kind of like booking agencies, different kind of, there's a couple of big ones like IWME and a CAA are kind of global agencies. But we work kind of with a couple of groups down here in Texas, and all it is I remember when I first lived in Nashville, not naming names, but just people would say, "Hey, we love you. We're going to change everything about you." And I'm like, "Okay, what?" It was never was right. But, I don't think I've learned this, is that if it's one person aggressively searching after the other, or like, if I was to knock and bang on these guys, or help me, or they were to bam on, like, "I could change your life tomorrow," that usually doesn't work. It's got to be pretty mutual. I think it's got to be, "Hey, like, we like what you're doing, but, you still got a ways to go." And I'm like, "Hey, like what y'all are doing. I got some things I want to do first," and that's kind of, I feel like that's the healthiest relationship, is when it's 50-50. And that's kind of all I would say to any young artist. If someone's going to work with you and they promise you the world, they probably aren't going to give you the world. And if you're chasing after somebody, you're not going to be that appealing to them, because they don't need you, It's got to be pretty mutual, and that's the biggest thing I'll say. And that goes with anyone and you work with, booking, management, publishing. There's got to be a mutual desire to want to work with each other, or bad contracts will be made, or you'll feel neglected, or they'll feel like neglected, or that they don't need you. So I would just say, just finding mutual relationships, whether it's a booking agency or management company, is kind of the biggest advice I would give.
I'm a big country fan. I worked for a country station for about 6 months back in the 80s during the holidays. I loved it. It was absolutely fabulous. And of course, I guess I kind of grew up around that. And I'm listening to it now. We have one station here in Santa Barbara that we get from the Valley called Crazy Country. And they feature a guy by the name of Bobby Bones. You familiar?
Oh, yeah.
He's out of Nashville. And he features a lot of different artists on his program. He has them in studio or on Zoom or what have you. And the one thing that I've always wanted to ask this question, both of artists as well as of people who enjoy country music, is what makes country music country music? And I won't even go into the different genres as you broke them down earlier, but from your perspective, as a country music artist and songwriter and so forth, what is it that makes it a country?
Yeah, it's funny. It really is going to depend on who you ask.
Sure.
Like, I appreciate you asking my opinion. I will always think my vote would be the songwriting. I think that you'll hear a lot of people, especially in the scene, I'm in the Texas Red Dirt scene, you get a lot of people who, you know, say, Nashville ain't country. And then you get, you know, Nashville being like, yes, it is, you know. And, you know, I think there's limits. I do think that, I think there's a lot of great subgenres of country. Again, this is just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, like, I enjoy listening to some, like, pop country-sounding stuff, or even, I love, like, hip-hop. So I personally love hip-hop. I think that the music I'm most drawn to is more of the kind of organic, and I guess say organic, but, like, artists I think of is Ryan Bingham, and, you know, and I like some rock stuff that's come out of Texas, like, this guy named Poe Wetzel, I'm a big fan of, and the young guys that I've been fortunate to with, there's some incredible songwriters that aren't even coming out of Nashville, you know, like a guy named Corey Kent, really good songwriter down in Texas. The groups I'm working with, a Fort Chef tour with, like Colby Cooper and Pegasus and the Rooftops and those guys. And, you know, there's this scene that isn't really on the mainstream radar that, you know, and I don't think they even consider themselves country. I think they just consider themselves, you know, artists.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that once you kind of lose the bindings of country, you get opened up to a lot more music. And, you know, if all you listen to is country radio, I would challenge you, not saying you personally, but like as anyone, I would challenge you to, you know, go check out some other playlists on Spotify, like country rock, like Texas Country Now. Those are all playlists that feature artists you may not hear on the radio. You know, I think that there's country everywhere. I think there's country music on the radio. I think there's country music on playlists. And I think that you might hear a whole lot of guitars on some version of country. You might hear a trap beat on some version of country. But in my opinion, as long as the lyrics are there, and there's some form of storytelling, and there's meaning to the song, and sometimes that meaning is just having a good time, you know?
Yeah.
I just think that substance is important. And I guess that's what country music is to me.
Yeah. One other quick question, and that is having to do with the message, the words that you use in the song. There's that one, I want to say, I think the gal's name is Lambert, but I can't remember. I may be wrong about this. You know the song I'm probably talking about, where she's talking about smashing his headlights with a, what's the name of that bat?
Louisville Slugger.
Louisville Slugger. Now, when it first came out several years ago, I thought it was cute. But in this day and age, that doesn't seem like the right message to be sending to people. How important is the message in your songs to you, and making sure that you're, I'm not saying being politically correct, but at the same time, don't you have a responsibility to be putting out, you know, some good stuff, some fun stuff, without the encouraging of stuff like that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I think that, you know, the last thing that any artist wants to do is exclude anyone from their music.
Sure.
And I think that that's my biggest thing. I want everyone to listen to my music. And any artist that doesn't want everyone to listen to music is not smart, because they're going to make less money. That's what I'll say.
True.
And, you know, and I don't know if that's involving Louisville Slugger all the time, but, you know, in my opinion, like, the kind of music I want to make is that I want someone in, you know, in Lubbock, Texas, to hear my song and resonate with it just as much as someone in Santa Barbara, California, just as much as someone in, you know, Billings, Montana, and Syracuse, New York. I want all four of those types of people to hear my song and be like, that's me, you know? And to me, that's the most important thing. And if you're writing songs that is not, in my opinion, there could be people from all four of those places that like certain sounding music, you know? So I don't think, for me, I'm worried less about the production and more about the substance of the song.
Mm-hmm.
I think the production is always going to emulate the song, which I love being a part of, but you know, I don't think a whole lot about, like, I have a swear word in one of my songs, and I'm like, I just, because I felt that feeling, and I wanted to say that at that moment, you know. And I'm sure there's people who at the time are like, I want to say this too.
Yeah.
You know,
by the way, Dr. D, catch that. I forgot to tell you.
Yeah.
Or can we say on the radio?
No. So I will catch that. And which song is that
in? I think it's in Remember Us, isn't it?
Drink.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's Drink to That.
Oh, Drink to That.
Drink to That. Okay. I'll tell you what.
Very, very first line. Very first line.
Yeah, it's right at the beginning. I meant to tell him, so thanks for bringing that up.
No problem. We'll leave it in the podcast version. We'll leave it in the podcast version because they don't care. But on AM and FM, we got to bleep it out.
All right. Well, hey, listen.
It's in the second line.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And everybody. Who wants to hear that word, go listen to this again on interview again on the podcast.
That's right.
Hey, we got to take our last break and we're going to come back and just say goodbye here, Palmer. What a great hour, man. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you don't ever disappoint. Learned a lot today. We will be right back. We're taking you to break, our last break again with Remember Us. Again, we started out with that. We've got a little more of that to play for you. Mm-hmm. I really like that song. And we're going to come back in again with a little more from I'll Drink to That. No swear word on the second one, Dr. D. So you're good. And then right after that, Meet Me in Texas, the entire song, we're going to play that at the end and premiere it on the show. When we come back, we'll be right back.
Remember a saying we call each week, and even though we wanted to, them tickets ain't cheap. It takes pink lines, hard times, or someone getting hitched. I remember us laughing their first kiss. Wherever I go, I'll think of this love. I'll find our memory in the cloud of dust. When our sun sets, let it do what it does. I'll pull out a picture, it might be enough. Wild hearts in a hand-me-down truck, that's how I remember us. Remember us there on our last night. We talked about forever in the same breath as goodbye. Still got the tea you bought me on the week before we left. I remember us, so please don't forget. Wherever I go, I'll think of this love. I'll find our memory in the cloud of dust. When our sun sets, let it do what it does. I'll pull out a picture, it might be enough. Wild hearts in a hand-me-down truck, that's how I remember us. Sunsets, let it do what it does. We'll pull out a picture, it might be enough. Wild hearts in a hand-me-down truck, that's how I remember us. Remember us.
Everybody, this is Ann Hitch.
Hey everybody, I'm Art Alex Hucks from the band Everclear.
My name's Danny Dreho.
And you're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
Jeremiah, you're loved, homie.
Do you need help with your restaurant or hospitality business? See how we can help your business at HJLRestaurantAdvisors.com.
Hey, this is Jeff Stump Baxter. Please open your heart and reach out to a veteran and let them know, number one, that they are loved and respected. You won't give up if they don't give up. And you're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
I'll drink to that. Said I drink too much from the start, and the daddy's money, little honeys, who wouldn't think that's too funny? Here's to the rock, not on her hand, and I feel like a brand new man. Oh, and the fact that she ain't coming back. Yeah. Oh, here's to the beers colder than her heart, and the drinks too much from the start. To the daddy's money, little honeys, who wouldn't think that's too fun? Well, here's to the rock, not on her hand, and I feel like a brand new man. Oh, and the fact that she ain't coming back, I'll drink to that.
Welcome back. Palmer Anthony's our special guest. His new album out this spring. Can't wait to hear it. He is on tour right now playing said album. And he brought four new songs to us. Masters. And we dropped them into the show. You guys have been able to enjoy them. You're going to hear Meet Me in Texas, his new single, which is out everywhere right now, tonight. So check it out. Go to his website, PalmerAnthony.com. Support him. Download the album. Get anything you can from this guy. This is good, good stuff. Last question for you, my friend. Who is Palmer Anthony?
I'm just a kid trying to write honest music and trying to, you know, enjoy the process. And I'm very grateful for folks like you guys and my crew and of people and just trying to one step at a time and put out the most honest and enjoyable music I can.
Well, thank you for that. And I think you're accomplishing and can't wait to see the rest of the album. Can't wait to hear the other six songs and see what you do, my friend. And hopefully we can catch you on the tour on the West Coast here. If I can help out with that at all, let me know. Anybody, I'm going to turn over final words to you. Anybody you want to thank? Any shout outs to friends, family, band members?
Yeah, I'll just say, hey, check out the single. It comes out when this airs. It's called Meet Me in Texas. And it's not just about the state of Texas. I do love the state of Texas, but it is it's got a little bit of everything in there. And we will be out west in April. I know we have a show in Arizona, and we're trying to get something like San Diego or Santa Barbara kind of stuff. So check out our website. Hope to see you all down the road.
All right. So you've waited long enough. With no further teasing, here is the world premiere on The Jeremiah Show. Meet Me in Texas, Palmer Anthony. Thank you, sir. Really appreciate it. Have a great show. Knock 'em dead and communicate. But listen more and evolve. Have a great week, everybody.
Bet that California sun looks good on you. Well, this Carolina moon is coming round soon. I heard you can't get enough of those beach town bars. Well, girl, you know my truck can't make it that far. Meet me in Texas. Cut the miles in two. This love's a little reckless, baby, that's the truth. So tell me what we're gonna do. If I left tonight, would you go too? Yeah. Won't you meet me in Texas? Another way they turn around. Turn around and bring you back to me. Yeah, meet me in Texas. Cut the miles in two. This love's a little reckless. Baby, that's the truth. So tell me what we're gonna do. If I left tonight, would you go too? Won't you meet me in Texas? Cut the miles in two. This love's a little reckless. Baby, that's the truth. Tell me what we're gonna do. If I left tonight, would you go too?
Hi, this is comedian Mods Jobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show. Listen, man.
Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify. The Jeremiah Show. Look for the black label. As always, a big thanks to Dr. D for making our voices come alive on the airwaves, and to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the air at all. Be sure to check out our very own Richard Dugan, a.k.a. Dr. D, Peabody Award-nominated radio show, Tell Me Your Story, every Sunday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas at jeremiah@thejeremiahshow.com or on Messenger, on Facebook, or Instagram. The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins and sound and engineer producer Richard Dr. D. Dugan. And me, your announcer, Tony Kelly. Communicate, listen more, and evolve.
I'ma put my guns in the ground. I can't shoot them anymore. That cold black cloud is coming down.
This is Miles Copeland. Yeah, I just had the honor of speaking to the Jeremiah Show. Who would have believed that little old me would have the opportunity to speak on such a prestigious show? And they even talked about my book, Two Steps Forward, One Step Back, My Life in the Music Business. So it was a great pleasure to be on that show, the Jeremiah Show.
I love you.